How many of you are excited to be here tonight? Say amen. Amen. I'm so glad that God has put us together. And last week we started a new series called The Power of Forgiveness. And we talked last week about how we live in a culture where people are easily offended. Sometimes they wear their feelings on their shoulders. I have, you have, we all have. And we talked about let it go. It's not worth it. Let it go. And the tape of that, by the way, if you weren't here, it's on brjourney.com. You can go and listen to it there. And then next week, we'll be talking about forgiving God, although technically we don't have to forgive God because he doesn't sin. But we get in a position sometimes, maybe something goes wrong in our lives, and we get mad at God. God, why did you let that happen? Why didn't you answer this prayer? Why didn't you heal this person? And we'll talk about that next week. And then the last week we'll talk about, and I've never heard an entire message on this, on forgiving yourself. Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is yourself. And you live with, even though you maybe have been forgiven by the Lord, yet you live with guilt and shame. And I want to talk to you about how you can be forgiven. You can forgive yourself. The power of forgiveness. Now, I want to tell you, tonight we're going to talk about the faith to forgive. And this is a heavy message. It's not an easy one. But you know what I have found? On the other side of pain, there's often healing. And so I hope you'll hang in there tonight and listen carefully. I want you to look at your outline, and I didn't give you anything to fill out tonight, but I want you to follow along with me. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, Luke 17. Look at it with me. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. One interpretation of that scripture says it's impossible that offenses not happen. It's going to happen. They're bound to come. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times a day, and seven times they come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Now, can you imagine how that hit the disciples? Yeah, we'll forgive a person once a day, maybe twice a year. But you're saying we have to forgive them all the time? Is that what you're saying, Jesus? And when they heard that, look what the apostles said. Lord, increase our faith. You know, it takes that kind of faith to be able to forgive these deep hurts that we have in life. And I want to pray right now. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. You know the needs in this room. Father, we're here to help people, and I pray tonight you'd bring healing and forgiveness and freedom to every person here in this room. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Who betrayed you? Who lied about you? Who mistreated you? Who took advantage of you? Now, last week we talked about the small offenses, but I'm talking here about major things. You know, it's easy to talk about forgiveness, especially if it's a small thing, and we only have to forgive them one time. But I'm not talking tonight about small betrayals. I'm not talking about a one-time thing. I'm talking about when you trusted someone and they betrayed you. Or you admired someone and they turned on you. Or you loved someone and they turned their back on you. That is a hard, hard thing to handle. And it may have been that a roommate stole from you years ago. Or a kid bullied you in school. Or maybe a boyfriend lied to you and about you. Maybe your father, your dad, you wanted to please him in the worst way possible, and yet you could never do good enough. He always made you feel small and afraid. about maybe a friend who gossiped about you, or a spouse that you trusted betrayed you, a person that you trusted made advances towards you, and it wasn't your fault. And yet, many of us have had that happen. And maybe an authority figure, someone who you trusted, touched you in places that are not necessary. You say, Pastor Malcolm, do we really need to forgive that person? Yes. And I want to tell you why. You say, Malcolm, they don't deserve it. They do not deserve it. And I would agree with you, as your pastor who loves you and cares about you, I would agree with you, they don't deserve it. Especially a major betrayal like that or something of that matter. You're saying, I have to forgive them? That's what the disciples said, I have to forgive them. And that's why they immediately said, Jesus, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Because they knew they would not be able to forgive that kind of thing without God's faith flowing through them. Now, I don't know your details. I don't know what you've been through. But I'm sure everybody here, on some level, you understand tonight what I'm talking about. I had a first cousin who was very close to our family. Matter of fact, she lived with us on the weekends. And she went to the deaf school. Parents lived up north. And she'd come and live with us. And we became very close. And about the time I went off to college, I found out that an authority figure there had molested her. And I can't tell you how much rage went through me and went through our family because we loved her so much. And I mean, it just tormented us so very much. Maybe it's something like that that you've been through. You know, I had an associate pastor who was down in the dump. He was about to go bankrupt. He was about to, he hadn't preached in 2 or 3 years. And I felt led of the Lord to help him. So I started calling him. We called him to be an associate pastor to church that I was pastor of back in the 80s. And I loved that guy. And you know, when I got down and I needed help, he threw dirt on me. He kept stabbing the knife in me. And that hurt. I felt betrayed. I felt like saying, look what I've done for you. And now I need the same thing. Can't you at least be merciful? But oh, he just kept knifing. And I'll tell you, that really bothered me. It made me bitter for a while. Several years, I was bitter. I even left the ministry for a while. Not because of that only, but just the own rebellion I was going through. And the time came several years ago where he'd never called and asked for forgiveness, but the Lord told me to call and forgive him. Well, I argued with the Lord for 2 or 3 weeks. And then finally I called him. And I said, I want you to know that even though you've never asked for forgiveness, I have to forgive you. And I have forgiven you. Well, the good news is now we talk every week or two. And I was so excited. He hasn't preached in a while, but he preached at a nursing home for the first time in a long time last weekend. And I was just rejoicing with him. I was so happy. I could have let that bitterness go on for multiple years. And I did for 2 or 3, 4 years. But I had to realize that my freedom, my future, was more important than not forgiving. So how do you forgive people when you don't feel like it? How do you forgive people when they've been so hurtful or they've betrayed you? You know, it's kind of like, it's almost like, you know, my car keeps getting nicks on it, although I park far away and I walk and I get on the corner, but lo and behold, this couple weeks ago, there's another nick in my car. Somebody opening their door, you know. I was offended. But man, I got that compound W. I hadn't tried the stuff, Mickey, you recommended, but I got that compound W a couple, 3 weeks ago. And I rubbed and I rubbed and I rubbed and it wouldn't come out. And I rubbed and I rubbed and I rubbed as hard as I could. I said, oh, I'm doing this. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I just rubbed it harder and harder and harder. And it never, ever came out. I mean, I was going at it from every single angle. And maybe you've had that gut-wrenching, agonizing hurt of betrayal or pain in your life. Let me tell you, God clearly tells us to forgive. Look at Matthew 5 on your outline. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Ephesians 4, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And then when Jesus said this next one, it should stop us in our tracks, and it surely stopped the disciples in their tracks. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now watch this. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now what does that mean? How do we practice that kind of intense praying? How do we do that when God tells us we must forgive? And we have to. I'm not talking about trite things here. But I mean, and I'm not minimizing anything that's happened to you. I realize that there are painful things that have happened in everyone's life. You've been hurt. You've been betrayed. But what happened needs to be forgiven. It may have been awful. It may have been horrible. It may be unfair. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Not at all. But God tells us to forgive. Now, what does it mean to forgive? What is forgiveness? Well, let me start by telling you, first of all, what forgiveness is not. Okay, what it's not. Forgiveness is not, look at it, forgetting. Wiping the slate clean in your mind and never ever thinking about it anymore and pretending like it never ever happened. It's not like I'm going to sweep this under the rug. I'm going to start saying it wasn't wrong what they did to me. Jesus is not saying here that you have to be a doormat for the rest of your life for the glory of Jesus. You can just let people walk on you. That's not what he's saying here at all. But forgiving a betrayal, watch this, doesn't mean you let them keep hurting you. Sometimes you have to put up strict boundaries. You know, where you forgive someone, and every good relationship has healthy boundaries. God knows you need them in an unhealthy relationship. But you have healthy boundaries. And sometimes you have to say, I forgive you, but it's going to take a little time for me to rebuild trust, to get it back to where it once was. So we create those boundaries. Forgiveness does not mean that you're forgetting. The second thing forgiveness is not, is it is not fair. It's not natural. Fairness would be to pay that person back. Fairness would be to get even. Fairness would be, you know, you hit me on one cheek, man, I'm coming after you. That's what we see as enemies. You know, someone, I remember one time someone said something about one of my children that, I tell you, I wanted to take them out. And it was a friend. And I felt very betrayed by them saying that. And thank God I was able to forgive him. And yet Jesus is saying, not only do you have to forgive him, you have to pray for your enemies. Yeah, Lord, I'll pray for them. I'll pray they get hemorrhoids in their ears or something, you know. I'll pray for them that way. No, I don't even know if that's medically possible. I don't know. But pray for your enemies. It's not natural to expect a woman to forgive terrible things that her daddy did to her just because he says he's sorry years later. It doesn't make natural sense to ask a girl to overlook the lies that her close friend has told about her. It's totally unfair to ask a husband to forgive his wife, or vice versa. It's totally unfair for my cousin, for me, to forgive that person that molested her. And as I said, I had rage about it for quite a while. But then I met the Lord Jesus, and I got closer to him. And I realized I had to forgive, because I wasn't hurting that figure authority that molested her. I was hurting myself. And I was limiting my future. My walk with God was being hurt. So I had to forgive. We often say, we want it to be fair. I want it to be fair. Well, listen to me. Thank God he wasn't fair with you or me. Because I want to tell you something. God is just, but God is not fair. And there's a big difference there. You know, it was not fair that God forgave my sins, the things I did wrong, or that you did wrong. If it was fairness, we'd get what we deserved, which would be separation and death from God. Thank God he wasn't fair. Look at this next verse. That's why I love Psalm 103. He, that is God, does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God is just, but not always is it fair. Well, then you say, Pastor, what is forgiveness? What does it mean to really forgive somebody? Well, listen, I think this is on your outline. Forgiveness, watch this, listen. Forgiveness is giving to others what God has given you. Forgiveness is giving to others what God has given you in Christ. I mean, we've been offered so much grace. We've been forgiven as people of God, children of the Lord. We've been given mercy. He's forgiven us our sins and iniquities. Because of what he did on that cross, you and I can be forgiven. Jesus gave you, if you're a Christian, Jesus gave you grace. Jesus gave you mercy. Jesus gave you a second and a third and a fourth chance. Have you ever sinned? None of us deserve to be forgiven. Have you ever sinned? Now, you know, we get all sanctimonious sometimes and rub our halos. But I want to tell you, nobody's perfect. We have all sinned. And if you're a self-righteous person, you're probably in the wrong church to begin with. Because we say no perfect people allowed. If you think you're perfect, don't come next week. You have to admit that you too have received the grace of God. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here tonight that has been forgiven. God has forgiven you. He's forgiven me of lying and cheating and stealing and having lustful thoughts and betraying him and hurting him. He's forgiven me of all of that. So when I am forgiven, what I need to do is to give to others what God has given me. That's the road to freedom. That's the road to inner peace. That's the road to joy. It is the power of the gospel. That is why Jesus Christ went to the cross, not because we deserved it, but because he was merciful and his love was so gracious to us. And look at this next verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, now I know that's not popular to use that word anymore, sins, but it's still a sin. And you know, the Bible says all have sinned. In the Greek, that is the picture of like you missed the mark when it says all have sinned. You know, like an archer that missed the mark. We've all missed the mark. We all have sinned in various ways. So it's not just receiving forgiveness. Hear me, Christian. It's not just receiving mercy, but it is giving forgiveness. It is giving mercy. You know, I want to ask you this, you know, because what we really need to do is when you receive forgiveness, then forgiveness ought to flow out of you. If you've been forgiven by God, then forgiveness ought to flow out of you. How's your flow? How's your flow? You know, you can say this with me if you know it, the Lord's Prayer. The model prayer, I'll stop at one phrase, but let's say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread and what? What? That's right. Forgive us our sins as we have been forgiven. I am to forgive like I've been forgiven. That boss that you're still mad at, that you don't like, you need to forgive him. That former spouse, you need to forgive him. That person that hurt you deeply, you need to let that go and forgive them. How is your flow? When we figure out that the flow is not just for us, selfishly, it's not just for us, but that flow is to go through us to other people all the time, every day. So God doesn't just ask you to forgive. He asks you to forgive, to heal yourself and to heal that other person. And then God asks you to forgive so that you can heal. And you can be set free. Boy, if I started tonight, and I'm not going to do this, but I could tell you after 35 plus years, I've quit counting because I'm too old, but you wouldn't imagine the people that I know and have met in ministry that have let a deep hurt keep them in bondage for decades. All because they would not forgive someone. And again, I'm not saying it didn't hurt. I'm not saying that what they did was right. But as your pastor who loves you, I'm telling you, you better forgive them for your good, for their good. And so that you can walk in freedom. And you can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you can't forgive, you think the Holy Spirit's going to anoint you? Lord, forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive others. Now, why does God want you to forgive? Listen carefully. Why does God want you to forgive? Well, there are many reasons. Many reasons, and I'm not going to go into all of them. But I want to tell you the main reason, listen, God asks you to forgive is because he loves you so much. He loves you so much. And he wants that flow of forgiveness to set you free. You know, somebody said, and I forget who originally said this, but they said, forgiveness is forgiving the prisoner and forgiving someone and then realizing the prisoner you set free was yourself. To live in prison. Significant wounds is what I'm talking about. And you may not. There are times when people will not ask for forgiveness. They will not acknowledge their sin. And in that case, you forgive not just so that the person who betrayed you can be free, but the forgiveness will set you free. And again, I'm not saying this is easy. It is not easy. But I want to say it again. On the other side of significant pain, you'll often find significant healing. It's easy to hold a grudge. It's easy not to forgive. It's easy to be bitter. But what did Jesus say? It takes faith to forgive. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, help us to forgive. Only the Holy Spirit can give you the power to forgive. And faith enables me. When I say, Jesus, I trust you. I don't even feel like doing this. But Jesus, I'm trusting you. I'm forgiving this person by faith. You know, just to married couples in here. There are a lot of hurts happen in marriage. I mean, you cannot be that close to somebody and not have hurt and sometimes betrayal and sometimes pain, neglect, deceit. But I want to tell you something. A good marriage is made up of two good forgivers. You have to be willing to forgive one another. You don't ask how much forgiveness do they deserve. But ask yourself, how much freedom do I deserve? And by faith, I choose to forgive. I may not feel it. I may not want to. But by faith, I am forgiving them. What you did, I forgive you. What you said, I forgive you. The lies, the betrayal, I forgive you. And I'm not going to be held a prisoner any longer. I am not a victim. I am not a prisoner. I am being set free. And the way I'm being set free is through the faith to forgive. Now I know it's not easy. And I know this is tough. And I know some of you are probably having trouble with some of this tonight. But I'm telling you, while you cannot change the past hurts, listen, you can change the future. And remember, by faith you can forgive. And forgiveness is simply giving others what God gave you. And you can get your joy back. You can get your peace back. Because you're no longer a prisoner. Let's pray together. Father, I know you've spoken to me tonight. I know you've spoken to many in this room. Lord, I pray that the healing power of forgiveness will permeate this place tonight. Lord, I pray for every person who has had a significant hurt in their life. Lord, I pray for them tonight. Lord, and I hurt for them, but Lord, show them through your Holy Spirit that it's time to let it go. It's time to walk in freedom. And even though they may not feel it tonight, Lord, help them to somehow have the faith to forgive and to remember that forgiveness is giving to others what God has given you. Now, if you're not a believer here tonight, Jesus Christ went to the cross for you so that you could be forgiven of all your sins. And if you've never accepted Jesus tonight, right there where you are, pray, Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. I repent of my sins, and I trust you to be my personal Savior. I give my life to you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that, I want you to tell me about it after church.